Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. I want to give a message today called Sanctification and Quarantining. And I think it's apropos, you know, as we see what's going on with this pandemic around the world. In the message, I'm not necessarily going to get into the prophetic part of this. I want to do that maybe a little bit down the line, a few weeks down the line, because there's other things that are going on also with locusts and famine and earthquakes and different things. Today, I really want to talk about those specifically about sanctification and quarantining because it's extremely important. And we're seeing the worst outbreak of a disease pandemic in more than 100 years. And we're just in the beginning of the process. So we have no idea. This might be the worst in 1,000 years. It could be the worst, or it might not be as bad as they think. We really have no idea. But so far, what we're seeing just in the short time of it, it really looks bad. And the best case scenario, what they're saying is possibly things might, as the warm weather comes, things could come down by the summer, but then pick up again in the fall. So people will think, oh, it's over. And then when the fall comes, it'll come even stronger. And in the meantime, nations and doctors are fighting to find, cure or, you know, a vaccine that they're able to use for it. But to be honest, the world doesn't know how to deal with the process because they don't follow the biblical principles of Yahweh. And it's so contrary, you know, when I look out what's happening today, and what they're more worried about, I think, more is the tourist industry and the stock market and financially. And to be honest, the world has gone through these things before and much worse than what we've seen so far. But up to this point in time, whenever there was a pandemic going around, that was what people worried about. That was their only concern, was that people are dying because there's a virus going around that's infecting people. Where today, because of commercial Babylon, there's so many other aspects that people are worried about. And like I said, the world just doesn't follow the process because they don't follow the biblical principles. They don't know how to deal with the process because they don't follow the biblical principles of Yahweh. And we see that some nations taking drastic measures, you know, like Israel, cutting off anybody coming in or coming out of the country. And it's really interesting because, you know, last year I had mentioned that we were stopping the feast in Israel. And one of the big reasons was due to the commercialism of the tourism. And Yahweh clearly told me last year, don't do any more pilgrimages there, that it was great while we did it for 21 years, but that's it because of the commercialism is so bad. And now you look just a few short months later and there's not a person coming into that country. There's not a tour that's going on. So I don't think it's a coincidence. And, you know, it's not politically correct to come out and say that when things like this happen, that it's Yahweh is allowing these things to happen because of man's disobedience and their sin. But at the same rate, I don't think anybody could say that a pandemic is a blessing. So it certainly isn't a blessing. And in the end time, we see there's many more things that are going to come that'll be worse than this, that are not going to be blessings. But unfortunately, as we see in the book of Revelation, mankind isn't going to turn toward Yahweh. This isn't going to be something that's going to turn them toward Yahweh. And everyone's going to say all of a sudden, oh, now that we see that this is happening, we're going to turn toward Yahweh. Absolutely not. It's the opposite. They'll blame Yahweh. They'll start blaming Yahweh and that it's his fault. And we're just in the beginning of sorrows here. But what does it mean for the people of Yahweh? And just in this specific subject we're going to talk about today, sanctification and quarantine, I've seen several times at Sukkot, and more over than not, that someone will come to Sukkot sick, and, you know, when they're getting on that plane and they're going through airports, they're infecting people as they're coming, and then when they get there, they don't stay in their room, they want to come out, they don't want to miss a service, they don't want to miss a handshake, and yet they're infecting the other people. And it's so sad that within 3 to 4 days, half the complex or more wind up being sick because of that. Because somebody, you know, they're told to quarantine and they don't. And then it happens to everybody. And being contagious and not quarantining yourself, it's selfish, it's prideful, it's rebellious, and it's breaking Torah and it's sin. And we're already seeing stories that's happening in the world. Even a doctor who wound up coming back to his country and was sick and knew it, and then he's going and seeing patients, or somebody that's sick and getting on an airplane when you know that you have this virus. You've already been tested positive for the virus, and you go on an airplane, and it's not just those people you're infecting, it's the other people that they're going to infect also. So it is unloving to your neighbor to infect them with an infectious disease. It's that simple. So I want to go over today with this coronavirus that many people are selfishly are not quarantining themselves and even getting on planes when they know they're sick and contagious. And they will be responsible for the murder of people who die due to their irresponsibility and recklessness and their stupid actions and behavior. So this is something that isn't just like at the feast. Maybe it ruins a lot of people's feast. It gets people sick. It gets children sick. This is way more than this now. This is something where it's a pandemic where it literally is going to take lives. So let's start Leviticus 13, because let's start the message by clearly showing, what does Yahweh say when you have a sickness? What does Yahweh say when you have something that is contagious that you're supposed to do? Leviticus 13, starting in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when a man has a swelling in the skin of his flesh, or a scab, or a bright spot, and it shall become in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, and he shall be brought into Aaron the priest, or to one of the sons of the priest. So you got to realize too, when the Bible talks about leprosy, it's not what we might think about leprosy today. You think about leprosy, which is very rare, praise Yahweh, but really it's a death knell, and just eats away at the people's skin and their face and whatnot. And there was that type of leprosy in Bible times, but there were different forms of leprosy. And any form of an infectious scab or swelling, on the skin was considered a form of leprosy, you know, in biblical times. So it's not necessarily the death plague leprosy, but it could be any infection that somebody has. In verse 3, and the priest shall look upon the plague in the skin of the flesh. And if the hair in the plague has turned white, and the appearance of the plague is deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look upon him and shall pronounce him unclean. And we all know it. You could look if you have something like that in your skin. You could see that if it's red and it's infected, you could clearly see that it's more than just a pimple or something, a mosquito bite or something like that. And very clearly, if that's the case where it's infectious, he's pronounced unclean. And if the bright spot is white in the skin of his flesh, and its appearance is not deeper than the skin, and its hair is not turned white, then the priest shall shut up the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him in the seventh day. And behold, if the plague stays in its appearance, and the plague is not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 more days. Another thing that's pretty interesting is when we look at Yahweh's numbers, and we know that 7 is a number of completeness, right? We've been talking a lot recently over the last year of the number 70, right? 70 being an endpoint number. And we're seeing that number come in a lot prophetically in these days, you know, that we're living in. But 7 is an endpoint number, right? Not an endpoint. 7 is a number of completion. We have 6 days of the week, and the seventh day is the Sabbath. So it's pretty interesting, not just that Yahweh says this. This isn't just randomly that the priest is saying, stay quarantined 7 days. But, you know, a lot of times when you go in and you're sick, you have the flu or you have something else, not all the time, but many times the antibiotics they give you actually are for 7 days. Many, many times. You know, it's a 7-day process. So I find that interesting. And the priest shall look upon him in the seventh day, and behold, if the plague has become dim and the plague is not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is a scab, and he shall wash his garments and shall be clean. But if the scab spreads greatly in the skin, after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, then he shall be a second time by the priest. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the scab is spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So again, it's something that you don't just look at once. It's something that has to be looked at again. The same way today, people, you go to a doctor, you're taking medicine, you come back to see how you are. And before you want to go out and maybe infect people and get them sick or even kill them, you want to make sure that you're not infectious yourself. And that is the most important thing that we see here. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the scab is spread on the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Drop down to verse 45. And the leper who has the plague in him, his garment shall be torn, and his head will be uncovered, and he shall cover the upper lip, and he shall call out, unclean, unclean. And the days that the plague shall be in him, he is unclean. He shall live alone. He is unclean. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Very, very clear. We're talking about quarantining here. There's nothing else about it. We're going to see in other parts here as we're going to read it. It's very clear. When somebody is sick, meaningly, not that you have an allergy or not that you have a mosquito bite or something else, but you are sick. You are infectious, which means that you can breathe on somebody or cough on somebody and you're going to get them sick. Then what does Yahweh say to do? You shall live alone. You're unclean. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. He's separated so that he doesn't get other people sick. It's that clear. And yet today, like I said, I am amazed at how many people, even within the congregation, that can't keep this simple thing. And it is so unloving and uncaring. And for myself, I don't care that much. But through the years, what has bothered me more than anything is when we've seen our daughter as a little child, you know, 3 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, and getting sick because other people can't keep a simple biblical law of love your neighbor as yourself. And people even have fought me on it. That why do we have to do it, or you don't have to do it, when not only is it common sense will tell you, if you have something, and we're seeing it today, this virus is spreading for one reason. Because somebody, it didn't start with thousands of people, and it's going to go into the tens of thousands and hundreds of, it's already in the hundreds of thousands, it's going to go in the millions. And it's not doing that, it's not coming from nowhere. It's doing it because somebody is not quarantined and they're giving it over to somebody else. And it's happening not by one or two people, it's happening in the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. Sometimes, to be fair, many people don't know they have it. It takes 14 days to incubate. And that's why in a lot of places now, if people are coming in from outside the country, like Israel, they're shutting them up for 14 days. They're not taking chances. But you know, it's one thing if you don't know that you're sick, but it's another thing when you know you're sick and then you don't care and you purposely go out. Let's continue in Leviticus 14 here. Leviticus 14, 1 through 3, and then we'll drop down to verse 7. And Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, that he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. And the priest shall look and behold if the plague of the leprosy is healed in the leper. Right, so now he's looking to see if it's healed. And what happens? Verse 7, and he shall sprinkle on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times again, number of completion, and shall pronounce him clean. And he shall send out the living bird into the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his garments and shall shave his hair and shall bathe with water and shall be clean. So this is interesting. Now this is after 7 days when he comes back. And the priest looks at him, and he's clean. He's not infectious anymore. And he's still, just to play it safe, he's still washing his body, shaving his hair, cleaning himself to make sure that if there was anything that's still on him that could be infectious, that it would be gone. And he shall be clean. And afterwards, he shall come into the camp and shall live on the outside of his tent 7 more days. So even after he's clean, he's still coming to the outside of his camp and still living outside for 7 days just to make sure. Because again, we, like I said, we don't know. There's times where people are infected with something, like I said, like this coronavirus, and you might not know it for 10 days. So, you know, you're infecting other people and you have no idea, because sometimes people that are infected don't even get sick, but they can infect other people by it. But very clear, Yahweh is always on the air of caution. So this should be our mindset, that we're trying everything not to get somebody else sick. And like I said, it's to me, even though I mention it every single year at Sukkot, it's in the opening night, and people will still come out and infect other people without caring. And now we're seeing something that is a worldwide pandemic. And what a bad example. It's bad enough for the world who doesn't know any better, right? They don't even understand these things. But for the people of Yahweh that we've been preparing and we understand it, we've seen it in the Bible and we've seen it in history, we should be the last people on earth that are breaking quarantine. And I'm being strong in this message because as we're building communities around the world, man, if you don't quarantine in your community, you're in trouble. Because if it is something that is deadly, that is coming, everybody in that community can die. We've seen it before in history. So this is something that is a very, very serious thing that we have to show. Go to next chapter, chapter 15. Chapter 15. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, to any man, when there is a discharge in his flesh, it is unclean because of his flow." So when there's a discharge in his flesh, if your nose, if you're coughing or you're blowing your nose and it's coming out green, it's coming out yellow, you see that it's something that's infectious, Yahweh says there, it's unclean because of his flow. Then we continue. "And this is his uncleanness and his issue. If his flesh has run with his issue, or his flesh has ceased from his issue, it is his uncleanness." Now again, if you might have an allergy, you know, and you might have a runny nose or something from an allergy, and it's clearly white or whatever, then you're not infectious. And that's why, like I said, praise Yahweh, a lot of times, you know, we'll have at the feast, we'll have Elder Wilco there, who's a medical doctor, who can check somebody. And that's why it's always good to get checked out to see if you are contagious or you're not contagious. But we don't want to panic, you know, like I said, allergies are around really, really bad. But we're talking about something that is not an allergy. Something where clearly it could be in the lungs, it's coming out, it's contagious, the flow that's coming out. And it's very interesting with the virus that's going on now. That's the way that it's being given. It's airborne. So somebody that's breathing or somebody that's coughing and that comes out, it is contagious to other people. And at least, they're not even sure yet because this is all new, but it's at least 10 times, maybe up to 100 times more contagious than the regular flu, you know. So we'll have to see as time goes on, but at least 10 times more than a flu. From at least what they're saying so far. If we continue here. "And this is his uncleanness and his issue. If his flesh is run with his issue, for the flesh has ceased from the issue, is unclean. Every bed on which the issuing one lies will be unclean. And everything on which he sits will be unclean. And anyone who touches his bed shall wash his garments and shall bathe with water and shall be unclean till the evening." So there's the ceremonial law, right? That says this even when a woman can be in her impurity, right? She's in her menstrual cycle. And again, if she sits on a chair and she gets up and someone sits on the chair, you're not going to catch that. You're not going to catch a woman's menstrual cycle. But here, this is something where if somebody is contagious, it's good that you should be changing your wraps. You should be changing your bedding. You should be doing these things because this is very clear why it's unclean, the bed that the person's sleeping in, because that's where all the contagious, you know, stuff is, where he's sleeping, where he's coughing, where he's sneezing. You know, so that makes sense. "And he who sits on a thing in which he discharged, the one who discharges that, shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and will be unclean to the evening. And he that touches the flesh of him who discharges shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean to the evening." What's one of the big things they're telling everybody more than anything? Wash your hands. That's why worldwide you can't get sanitizers, right? You can make them very easily. We're making our own sanitizer. But people are doing it because that's one of the main things, that you have to be able to keep your hands clean, because people are continuously not even realizing they're touching their face and they're touching their head, and you want to make sure that your hands are clean. So it's Yahweh is just, you know, he's not telling us something new. He's the creator of humans, and he understands these things. Verse 7, "And he that touches the flesh of him who discharges shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and will be unclean till the evening." Let's drop down to verse 12. "And the earthen vessel that he who discharges touches shall be broken, and every wooden vessel shall be rinsed with water." So, wow. Can you imagine? People wonder why we have millions of pieces of pottery in Israel, right, that are broken on the ground. They're wondering, were people really that careless? No, they weren't that careless. But if something, if somebody who was infected even touched it, they would break it. They would break it. "And when he who discharges is cleansed from his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing and wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in running water and shall be clean. And on the eighth day, he shall take to himself 2 turtle doves, and the priest, verse 15, shall atone for him before Yahweh for his discharge." If we drop down to verse 31, "So you shall separate the sons of Israel from their uncleanness, and they shall not die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is in their midst. You shall separate them that they not die in their uncleanness." So it's very clear. So things like now with China and with Israel and other places that are doing this, you know, Italy, that they're closing off the country because that's what you have to do. They're quarantining the people. And I hope that America Babylon takes it serious, because it's a much bigger country than anything we've seen. And China was isolated. It was in one area, one province that they were able to close off. In America, this virus now is in 40 states and moving. And if they don't stop it quick, there'll be no way to stop it. It'll be too big. And even when the time comes that they do stop people from coming in the country, that won't even matter at that point, because everything will be being transmitted from within the country when you have 320 million people. So quarantining is what Yahweh says. You must separate a contagious person, right? It's really interesting. Then the very next chapter is Yom Kippur, you know? So I don't think it's a coincidence that we have all these things about quarantining and sickness. Then we come to Yom Kippur. But I'm going to stop there as far as that goes. The part of physical quarantining, I think it is basic. It is simple. The Bible talks about it. It is a commandment of Torah, and we need to really start taking this seriously. And particularly, like I said, inside of our kibbutzes and our communities, you know, that this is a commandment that we are taking very serious as we're going. So now let's go to the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, and let's look a little more into this subject of quarantining. John 3 and verse 12 says, "If I tell you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? If I tell you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" So, the physical always comes before the spiritual, right? But there's a spiritual application here for quarantining that we also need to see. And I think now, as we see this pandemic going around the world, and we see why it's going, because people were not quarantined, because people that were infected were being allowed to stay with other people that weren't infected, and then the infected people were infecting the uninfected people, that we can understand it in a spiritual way, I think, maybe like we never have before, because we're seeing this on a worldwide level. Romans 16 and verse 16 and 17 says, "And brothers, I exhort you to mark those making divisions and causings of stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. And brothers, I exhort you to mark those making divisions and causes of stumbling contrary to the doctrine you learned, and turn away from them." So very, very clearly, we're told we have to quarantine or put away those bringing false doctrine who are selfishly not following judicial order. And it's no different than the selfish person who is out there, who knows he's infected, right, with the disease, and he's still going out knowing he's going to give that disease to other people, not caring. It's no different than spiritually the person who is infected with a false doctrine, and he knows he has this false doctrine, and he'll still go out to bring it to other people. And, you know, look how fast that this virus, coronavirus, is spreading without quarantining. Look how fast it spreads when you don't quarantine. And it is the same thing spiritually, that if you don't quarantine somebody with a false doctrine, if you don't immediately separate him from the congregation, then what's going to happen? That doctrine is going to be infected in other people. And before you know it, look at something like the flat earth. Something as ridiculous that's so easy to disprove. And look how many hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people are believing it now, because it wasn't stopped. It wasn't nipped in the bud. It wasn't stopped in the beginning. It was allowed to go out. It was allowed to go on the internet. And brethren, why on earth our brethren would be out there studying and looking at internet videos on the flat earth? Don't ask me. Don't ask me, but people do it the same way as the rotating Sabbath or any other infectious spiritual infection that people are looking at. So it's the same way. If you're going to a place that's totally infected with the virus, who today would just go to China? Anybody? I got a free ticket, you know? Contact me through the internet. I'll give you a free ticket tomorrow to China, to Wuhan province. You want to go? I'll give you a free ticket. Nobody's going to go. Why? Because that's where the virus started. So why would you go on the internet and go to these websites where these viruses have started? The virus of the Sabbath, the virus of Yeshua not pre-existing, whatever virus it is out there. But all these viruses, they're viruses, they're spiritual viruses. And even the same as we need to quarantine the physical way, we need to quarantine the spiritual way. And you can't get clearer than this. Mark those who are causing stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you learn and turn away from them. It's because it's a serious thing. If not, you're going to see what's happening now. People are going to die. People now with this coronavirus are going to physically die, and people that are getting into these spiritual infections will spiritually die. 1 Corinthians 5 in verse 9 says, I wrote you an epistle not to associate with immoral persons, and not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or with covetousness, or with extortionists, or with idolaters, since then you would have to go out of the world. But now I wrote to you not to associate intimately if anyone is called a brother and is either immoral or covetousness or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortionist. With such a one, do not even break bread to eat with. For what business is it to me to judge the ones outside the congregation? But you may make judgments on those inside the congregation. And Yahweh will judge the ones outside, and you shall put out from yourself those wicked persons. You shall put out those wicked persons. So spiritual quarantining. We must separate the spiritual sick, the sinners, from the spiritual well, the obedient. You know, and it's, I see Yahweh doing it himself, separating the wheat from the chaff. We saw it in our congregation a few years ago, that there were people that were rebellious, that some even in leadership, that were not following judicial order, that were trying to bring their own doctrine, do their own thing. And what happened? Yahweh separated. Because we're in the time that Yahweh is separating the wheat from the chaff. So it's very clearly here, though, that people that are living in sin, we need to separate with. We need to separate. So the idea, like the Amish is some of the most loving, caring, moral people you'll ever meet in your life. But one thing that they strongly do is shunning. They shun people that are living in sin. Because we should. Not only for the love of the brethren, that you can't have that infection within the brethren, but the love of the person also. Because that person needs to be set apart for himself so that he sees what he's doing is wrong and he can get rid of the sickness, of the sin that he's committing. Ephesians 4 in verse 11. Ephesians 4 in verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Because the same way that in the first covenant, the priest had the responsibility, right? The priest isn't the doctor, but yet he was the one that had to see if the person was infectious, and he was the one that had to set the person outside the camp. He was the one making that decision in the first covenant. In the new covenant, it's the elder. The elder has to make these decisions. He has the responsibility to quarantine, you know, spiritually sick brethren. So chapter 4 of Ephesians in verse 11. And indeed, he, Yeshua, has assigned some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds or pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all may come to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim. Right? So it's the elder who's responsible that we all come to this unity of doctrine. To a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be children, being blown and carried about by every wind of false doctrine of men, who through their craftiness are very skilled in deceiving the people, right? So, very clearly here, this is the responsibility and the authority of the elder, that he has that authority and responsibility that if people come within the congregation, that they need to be And they need to be quarantined if they have an infectious spiritual disease of a false doctrine. So the elder needs to do this. 2 Thessalonians 3, we see the same thing. 2 Thessalonians 3, starting verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, for the rest, brethren, pray concerning us that the word of our master may run and be glorified, even as also it has with you. And that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men. For faith is not in all men. But Yahweh is faithful, who will establish and will guard you from the evil. But we are persuaded in Yahweh as to you, that whatever things we have commanded you, you both are doing and you will continue to do, right? Staying in the doctrine that was taught to you. And the Master direct your hearts into the love of Yahweh and into the patience of Messiah. And we command you, brothers, in the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, to shun every brother which leads an evil life and not according to the doctrines which you receive from us. So this, he's commanding them, commanding in the name of Yeshua Messiah, that you shun every brother or sister, it doesn't make a difference, who leads an evil life and not according to the doctrines that were received. Because these doctrines are not the doctrines of the apostles or the Waldenses or the Paulicians or the Church of God or the Congregation of Yahweh. These are the doctrines that have come from Yeshua to the apostles all the way down for the last 2,000 years. For you know how you ought to imitate us, for our behavior was not disorderly among you. So that's what's happening. You know how you are to imitate us, because that's why the elders, that's why everyone is not an elder. You're not an elder when you have laying on of hands at baptism. Because an elder has very strict qualifications, because the elder has to make sure, Yahweh has to make sure that elder is mature enough that he brings that doctrine to the next generation, or that chain would have been broken. The only way it lasted for 2,000 years is because of that strict requirements that Yahweh has. And that elder has the responsibility to make sure that if anybody has a spiritual infection with a false doctrine, that he's quarantined, that he's put out of the congregation for the love of the brethren, to put away spiritually infected people. Verse 14 says, "But if anyone does not obey our word through this epistle, mark that one and do not associate with him, that he may be shamed." Mark that one and don't associate with him. So with these people will tell you, the ones who are bringing the false doctrines, no, there are no congregations. We're all one. Everyone just has to love each other, because they're trying anything to get to as many people as possible and infect them. That's the same thing somebody will say, at the feast. "Hey, I paid a lot of money to come here. I don't want to sit in my room all feast, you know?" Well, other people paid a lot of money too that you're going to infect. And it's a commandment of Yahweh. And it's unloving and selfish to infect people purposely when you know you're sick and not care. And that's unfortunately what the problem is with some of these people, is that they don't care. They really don't care about the brethren. All they care about is bringing their wares. And I know we've had conferences before, and I've talked to some of the other sacred name elders that have told me the same thing, that they've had conferences and people will sign up to come to a conference, or they'll show up there at the conference with a big load of papers in their hands of their false doctrine. And you know what? When they're told that they're not allowed to bring them, they're welcome in to come and listen to the speakers, but they're not allowed to bring in this doctrine, they get in their car and they leave. They have no interest on learning, on being taught. They have no interest on anything but bringing that false doctrine. And when they're stopped, they just go to the next spot where they can go. So we have to quarantine against this kind of stuff. It's important. 1 John 4 and verse 1. 1 John 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from Yahweh. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world," right? So we have to test the spirit. And how do you test the spirit? Listen to what the word says in verse 4. Let the word interpret the word. "Little children," verse 4, "you are of Yahweh and have overcome them, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They are of the world, because of this they speak of the world and the world hears them. We are of Elohim. The one knowing Elohim hears us. Whoever is not of Elohim does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error," right? So the ones of Elohim, what does he say? The ones of Elohim hear us. Whoever is not of Elohim does not hear us. So whenever you hear somebody say, "I don't follow a man," run the other direction, because they're infected with a disease. They're infected with a disease that is the disease coming from Satan the devil, who's breathing on them this infectious disease of pride, of arrogance, of selfishness, of unrepentance. And that's what they're getting. They're getting it from him. And Yahweh is separating the wheat from the chaff. Like I said, Yahweh is doing this now. So some come in deceitful. They befriend brethren, but they have hidden agendas and they don't follow the leadership. So you know it. You see, I've been dealing with this for many, many, many years. And the Laodicean spirit is out there and it's strong. And there's people out there that that's their only focus. And when you have the spirit of Yahweh and you really do love your neighbors, yourself, and you see what's happening in our congregation with living in community and people sharing and giving, you don't want to think that there could be people out there, you know, coming to a meeting or coming to your local congregation or maybe even a feast that actually isn't like that. That they really have these selfish motives. But that's why you have to test the spirits. You have to test the spirits. And if they're not listening to the doctrine coming from the elders that Yeshua ordained himself, then these people are infected with the infectious disease of of Satan. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Because now I want to take this in a little different direction of even more showing what quarantine really means in our life. I think up to here, it's pretty simple, right? We can understand people being sick, you quarantine because you can give that disease. We can understand people who try to come in our congregation that are spiritually sick. Whether they're sinning or they're bringing a false doctrine, we understand, we've seen it, how it'll affect other people, it will divide the congregation, and we could understand that. But quarantining to a believer goes much, much further than those two major points. And now I want to start getting into this point. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For the rest then, brothers, we beg you and we exhort you in our Master Yeshua, even as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and please Elohim, that you abound more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication," right? This is the will of Elohim, your sanctification. That's why the message is called sanctification quarantine. Because what is sanctification? Sanctification is setting apart. Sanctification is spiritual quarantining. "Each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification in honor, not in passion of lust, even as also the nations do, not knowing Elohim. Not to go beyond and to overreach his brother in the matter, because the avenger concerning all these is Elohim, even as we told you before and solemnly testified. For Yahweh did not call us to uncleanness, but toward holiness. Therefore, the one that does an injustice is not wrong man, but Yahweh, even he giving his Holy Spirit to us." So sanctification is a setting apart. It's a type of spiritual quarantine from the world and sin. So isn't it amazing that Yahweh, in his word, as New Testament believers, actually set it up to automatically quarantine us from the world? That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is spiritual quarantine. It's that simple, that we are quarantined from the evilness of the world. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9 says, "His coming," talking about the anti-Messiah, "is due to the working of Satan in all power and miraculous signs and lying wonders, and in all deceit of unrighteousness in those who will perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And because of this, Yahweh will send to them a working of deception for them to believe the lie, that those not believing the truth, but who have delighted in unrighteousness, all may be damned." So, wow. Yahweh, because the world is not repentant, because the world is selfish, and the world is not seeking the things of Yahweh, Yahweh is allowing them to believe the lie. What lie? Well, every lie. Look at the news today. Like I said, they talk about fake news. Everything is fake news. Where on earth do you find the truth? Even with the coronavirus, there's about 10 different theories that have come up on some of these websites that are absolutely ridiculous. You know, that people are making, and as believers, we should not be taking the, you know, it says in Isaiah 3, do not say a conspiracy to everything. And there are believers sometimes that will believe any conspiracy, absolutely any conspiracy. Somebody can come up with the flat earth, that's a conspiracy. And people will believe any conspiracy because they want to believe the lie. And you know what? It is dangerous because whatever is not of the truth is a lie. And I don't care if you believe in the Sabbath and the holy days and all these other things. and you're believing that there's 2 million Russian soldiers down in San Diego for the last 30 years waiting to attack America. You know, we heard this for years ago. They used to say that. They already came. They came in ships. And they're in San Diego in caves. And then a year went by, and 2 years, and 5 years, and 10 years. And they never came out and attacked. And when I would say to these people, excuse me, are those Russian? Oh, yeah, they're still there. They're still in the caves. Who's feeding them for 10 years? What are they doing? How are they going to the toilet? What are they doing? And people will believe these lies. Brethren will believe these lies. And we have to be careful. Because just as much as false doctrine will pull you away from the truth, right, and take away your sanctification, so will believing the lies of the New World Order. Yes, there is a New World Order. Yes, there's a plan for global government. But I'm telling you, at least 75% of what you're going to read on the internet is either altered or completely fake. And brethren have to stop believing every single lie that's out there. You know, we're told to test the spirits, and we're told to prove all things and hold on to that which is good. And Satan has created the world of Facebook, internet, pleasure seeking, and we're sanctified from this. Don't you understand? The people who are falling for this are the ones who are addicted to the internet and can't stay off of it. They're the ones that are searching it every day, right and left, in every false website, false teachers. Sometimes even within the brethren, sometimes, you know. I'll be somewhere and they'll ask, do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? And I'm wondering, how do you know him? I never heard of this guy, but how do you know him? Oh, it happened to this, it happened to this. Someone sent me a video. Man, stay away from it. It will mess you up. It will mess you up. And you know something? We are sanctified. We are quarantined from that. We are quarantined from the ways of the world. We are quarantined from Facebook. We are quarantined from Twitter and social media. We're quarantined from all of these evil stuff that's out there, Skype and everything else that they have out there, and all the pleasure-seeking stuff that's on there. Because when we look at the end result, nobody can argue that the internet and social media and all these things has brought only misery. Depression and suicide in youth is higher than ever. Millions that are hooked on pornography, gambling, evil video games. Many youths are socially inept, depressed, even going to psychiatrists, you know, young people. They have a false reality. Everything is based on a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And it's really, really sad. And it's a selfish generation without natural affection. And it's all because of the internet. The internet has caused all these things. And praise Yahweh, we are quarantined from that. We're quarantined from that. That's where the sickness is. The sickness is not in our communities. The sickness is not in our local congregations. The sickness is out there in commercialized Babylon religion. So if you're going out there to the internet, or some people even visiting these congregations, you're going to get yourself infected. And all these different websites that people are going to, they're getting themselves infected. Continue here at 2 Thessalonians 2, and now go to verse 13, the next verse. What does it say? But we ought to thank Yahweh always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Yahweh, because Yahweh chose you from the beginning to salvation. How? In sanctification of the Spirit through a true faith. In sanctification. He's called us through quarantine. He's called us through quarantining us from the world. Spiritual quarantining. To which he called you through our preaching, to be the glory of our Master Yeshua Messiah. So then, brothers, stand firm and strongly hold the commandments you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Stand firm and strongly hold the commandments you're taught. And like I said, I can't believe it in Church of God. I saw people that were Sabbath keepers for 20 years, sometimes longer. Some of them were even deacons or elders. And they wind up going to the rotating Sabbath, the false belief, something else that's there. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But it's because they have not the love of the truth. Because when you love the truth and you get the truth, I know when the truth came to me, it was like I heard things and I wasn't sure, and I knew what I was doing with Catholicism wasn't right. But as I heard all these other things from religion, it just didn't make sense. But when the truth came to me, it was like water to my soul. Because the truth never changed. The truth sets you free and it never changes. So how can you believe that Saturday is the Sabbath for 25 years and all of a sudden you're going to believe it rotates by the moon? And it's because people were not sanctified. They were not spiritually quarantining themselves. 1 John 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. Now, wow, just think about this. The Apostle John wrote this about 2,000 years ago almost, right? You know, 1,900 and some odd years ago. He wrote this then, not loving the world, and all the things of the world are not of Yahweh. Think today. Wow, think today. And like I said, how people can be hooked up on Facebook, the WhatsApp, all of these things, you know? And people constantly try to get me on these things. People are constantly trying to get me to get on Skype or get on Facebook or get on this, and I want no part of it. I want absolutely no part of it, because all of it is part of Satan's end time commercial Babylon. And that's why what amazes me most of what's going on now, and like I said, we're only in the beginning of this. Only Yahweh knows where this will lead to. In a month or two, things could seem to be back to normal. But one thing is certain, we can see what's going to come. That something, if it's not this one, something else will come and it'll be worse down the line. But what amazes me is that people are much less worried about getting the virus and being sick than they are about the financial aspect. That's what spooks people. And a lot of people don't even own stocks. I guess some people have them in their retirements and whatnot, but a lot of people don't even have them. But the stock market goes down, that's the end of the world. That's where commercial Babylon is being threatened. Because up to that point, and that's all you hear from President Trump, is the stock market, the stock market. You know, reelect me because the economy is good. Look at the stock market. And the stock market really doesn't mean anything. 2% of the people own stocks there. You know, 2% of the people in the country own 50% of the wealth. It has nothing to do with the average person out there. And yet, that's the thing that makes people feel secure as long as the stock market isn't going down. Once the stock market's going down, then all of a sudden, the world is caving in and people panic. And what do they even do when they're panicking? They're going and buying toilet paper and buying water as if a hurricane is coming. They don't even understand what the virus is about. They don't even understand what quarantining is all about. And they don't even understand that it's their lifestyle. It's their lifestyle that's causing this. We're not to love the world or the things of the world. And that's what's panicking them. It's not the virus. It's not that maybe they'll get sick. What's panicking them is their lifestyle in Babylon can change, right? And it is changing. You're seeing professional sports call off seasons and whatnot. But, you know, I was telling Petra this week that as the world is in chaos, our life hasn't changed at all. Our life hasn't changed at all because we're already storing food. We've been doing it. We even have food left from last Shemitah that we have, and we're already storing for the new one. Medicine that we're storing. We already live separate from the world. We homeschool our child, so we don't have to go out there. I don't work in the world, so I don't have to worry about that. We don't go to bars and restaurants and malls and sporting events. So as the world is panicking, not so much for the pandemic, but they're panicking because Babylon is falling. That's what they're panicking about. That this system that they love is falling apart and they don't know what to go from there. We're praising Yahweh as we see our salvation drawing near. We're not panicking because nothing has changed for us. Absolutely nothing. Because we're already out of the world. And if believers will do this, if you will quarantine yourself, sanctify yourself, which is spiritual quarantine. If you do that from the world, then as you see the world falling apart, it shouldn't panic you. You have nothing to be panicked of. Because for us, all it means is we're that much closer to the kingdom of Yahweh, which is awesome. We are near the end of Satan's demonic, selfish, perverted, prideful, worldly system that we're not part of. So why would we panic when Yahweh is taking down commercial Babylon worldwide? That shouldn't be our panic. We should be praising Yahweh for his kingdom is coming. John 17 and verse 14. Excuse me. John 17 and verse 14. Says, I have given them your word. This Yeshua is speaking with the Father. And the world hated them because they are not of the world as I am not of the world. The same way the world hates us. Because we're not going to the same things as them. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil, that you keep them sanctified, that you keep them spiritually quarantined. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. And like I said, the way that you're gonna stay in the truth is by keeping yourself spiritually quarantined and not going to the world looking for your doctrine. As you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them in the world. And I fear for their sakes. I sanctify myself so that they may also be sanctified by the truth. And I do not pray concerning these only, but also concerning those who will believe in me through their word. Right? All of us for the last 2,000 years. That all may be ikad, united, as you are in me, Father, and I in you, that they may also be ikad, united in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So this is what it's really about, right? Belief is witnessing to others will only come by sanctifying ourselves to the truth, right? We have to show them that we're not like them. If you're being just like them and you're part of all this evil social media and all the other stuff of the world and you're doing all the things of the world and you're going to worldly movies and all the other stuff, then you're just like them. Then they're not going to see anything different in you as these things happen. But what I believe is now, as things like this pandemic is going out, that we have a great opportunity, just like it talks about in Daniel 11, right? That the people of Yahweh, as the end is coming and all these horrible things are happening, we will do exploits and will work. Meaningly, that we have answers for these people as their world is falling apart. So many of them don't want those answers, but some of them do. So I think it's a great opportunity for us as the people of Yahweh. But if you're not keeping your life quarantined, you know, if you're not staying spiritually quarantined and sanctified away from the world, if you're no different than them, then you're probably panicking alongside of them instead of being able to give them the answers that are needed. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace abound? Let it not be. We who have died to sin, how shall we live in it? Drop down to verse 6. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace? For we know this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, so we are no longer to serve sin. For he who is dead has been freed from sin. Drop down to verse 12. Then do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey its lust. Neither present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to Yahweh as one living from the dead and your members instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. For your sin will not master it over you, for you are not under the penalty of law breaking, but under grace. So, very interesting that at baptism, we are quarantined, right? We're sanctified at baptism. When you come up out of that water and you receive the Holy Spirit, you're sanctified. You're set apart. You're quarantined. But we're not set apart from the Torah. We're not set apart from obedience. We're set apart from sin. This is what we're quarantined from. And by being quarantined from sin, what does that do? That means as the world is going out there and getting every kind of sexual disease, that's not going to affect us because we're quarantined from that. Because we're keeping the seventh commandment, and our young people are living in chastity until marriage. So we're quarantined from that. We're quarantined from lying and stealing. We're quarantined from breaking the Sabbath. You know, we're quarantined from all the ways of the world. So that's what we're quarantined from, not from the Torah. So the Torah is not done away with. What's done away with in our life after baptism is sin. What's done away with in our life is all the things that sin leads to. And that's why I say, you know, like I say, when you look at what's happening here in the world, you know, it's very interesting because the person who doesn't quarantine and he goes out and he infects somebody, right? And maybe that person doesn't die. Maybe that person is sick for a couple of weeks and then he gets better. But what about that second person that went and infected another person? And the third person, the fourth person, and maybe that person dies, and the eighth person dies. So it's not just that one person that you infected, it's the people they're infecting that's happening. But you're responsible, because if the first person had stayed quarantined, not only the second, but the third and the fourth and the fifth and the tenth. So right now, this is a virus that started in China. You know, there's no doubt about that. So it's a big thing. They don't want you to say it's a Chinese virus. They say that it's racist. No, it's not racist. It started in China. But now as you look at this pandemic around the world and you're seeing, you know, thousands of people getting this virus in all these different countries, you just think to yourself, if the first cases in China would have immediately quarantined and the other people would have quarantined against it, it would have never went. So it's the same with us. When you become a believer, if you quarantine your life, not against obedience, because obedience is only blessings, but you quarantine your life against sin, you quarantine your life against all the things that Yahweh says are sin, then that's what's going to happen. Then you won't spread that to somebody else. So like I said, we're actually sanctified, we're spiritually quarantined at our baptism against sin. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Says, do not unite in marriage with unbelievers. Some translations say, do not be unequally yoked, because I don't believe it's just marriage being talked about here, but it's any kind of union with a non-believer. For what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? What agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols? For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim, as it is said, I will dwell in them and I will walk among them, and I will be their Elohim and they will be my people. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh Almighty. So, wow, that's what he says. He doesn't say, be in the world and part of the world, right? You have to be in the world because we can't go up to another planet, but we're not to be part of the world. We are to be separated. We are to be quarantined from all these things of the world. And I'm sorry, the Laodicean out there that wants to keep justifying, you know, why internet and social media and all these evil things that they're on are fine. And it's just not. It's the opposite. You see it right here, that you're not to be unequally yoked, because what agreement does Messiah have with Satan? That the world is literally satanic and we have to stay quarantined from Satan's society to survive in the end. So how do you do it? People say to me, well, how on earth? How, if you're in the world, how can you stay spiritually quarantined? You know how? Living in community. That's the way you do it, right? Community living is Yahweh's way to naturally quarantine us from the world. We're doing it already, and it's growing. All over the world, we have people living in community. Like I said, in Ethiopia is our biggest one. More than 700 people living in a community, totally quarantined from the world. I tell people at the Bible school every year I learn an important lesson. And the one year, the lesson I learned was, don't leave the camp. Because there's safety in the camp. As long as you're in that camp, you're protected. Yahweh's cherubs are around there. Once you leave that camp, you're on your own. And it shows sometimes when Yahweh is separating the wheat from the chaff, how people will leave the camp. They'll leave the camp on their own. They'll leave the congregation. They go on their own. And they just show what spirit they're really of. But we want to make sure we're not leaving the camp. You're safe in the camp. When you leave, you're unprotected. We need to stay sanctified together as the people of Yahweh and wait for him to bring the remnant to the wilderness. But the communities are like, it's the waiting room to the wilderness. You know, before you get into the doctor's office, you always have to get into the waiting room. You don't walk in, I don't know anywhere where you just open a door and you're in the doctor's office. You know, maybe he's working on somebody, who knows? No, there's always a waiting room. You walk in the door and you're in the waiting room and you wait to go into the office for your appointment. So the same thing here. The community is like the waiting room for the wilderness, and that's what we need to be looking at. But clearly Yahweh says, come out from among them and be separated. Commercial Babylon is all over the world. The system of Babylon, that this is what the people are mourning now. They're not mourning the virus, you know, because very few people actually worldwide, if you're looking at 8.5 billion people and only 100,000 people are infected, that's very, very few. Like we said, you look how many will die from the flu this year. You'll have 50,000 people dying from the flu just in America. So it's not the sickness people are really mourning now. They're mourning that their way of life may change. They're mourning that commercial Babylon may collapse, that they might not be able to go to their sporting events, and they might not be able to have the Olympics, which is all from paganism, and they might not be able to go to their shows and their malls and all the pleasure-seeking things that they've been doing. And Yahweh tells us to come out from among them and be separated, be quarantined. It's time for the people of Yahweh to be quarantined from all the evilness of the world. And then you know what? If we're spiritual quarantined, you won't have to worry about being physical quarantined. Last scripture is 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Because it's not only for yourself, it's for your brothers and sisters. You have an obligation in Yahweh's congregation to keep yourself spiritually pure. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are a sanctuary of Elohim and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you?" You are a sanctuary of Elohim. That's what, it's not called a temple, right? That's a word that came up from pagan places. There's pagan temples, but it's a sanctuary. And where does that word come from? It comes from sanctification. It's a set apart place where Yahweh dwells, his sanctuary. "Do you not know that you are a sanctuary of Elohim and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? And whoever defiles the sanctuary of Elohim, Elohim will destroy. For the sanctuary of Elohim is holy, which you are," right? It's holy, it's Kodesh, it's set apart. "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks to be wise among you in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Elohim. For it has been written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness." All the ways of this world, all of their pleasure-seeking ways, it's all foolishness to Yahweh, and it's all going to be destroyed. Talks about in Corinthians, right? It's all going to be burned up. The only thing that's going to be left is the fruit that you bear and the character that you grow in. That's the only thing that will be left in this world. And like I said, sanctuary comes from being sanctified. It comes from the same root, right? When we are sick and we don't quarantine, we get other people sick and we defile Yahweh's sanctuary. The same way when we commit spiritual fornication and indulge in all worldly ways of false doctrine, all these false things on the internet and sin, we spiritually defile the brethren. And we're going to suffer the wrath of Yahweh if you do that. If we follow Yahweh's laws of quarantine, you would not have any problem with catching a virus. It is only when people with a Laodicean attitude, right? "I'll never follow a man." These are the very people that will get sick, know they're sick, and get on an airplane to infect others. And they're the same people that will walk into your congregation with their false doctrine, not caring who it's going to affect. And they don't care for anybody but themselves, right? So it's the people with the Laodicean attitude, those people, "I'll never follow a man," who selfishly don't care who they infect. It's the same spiritually. Some will spend many hours a week surfing the internet and bringing their heresy into the congregation, infecting the brethren. They want to say the elders are wrong and try to infect others with their Laodicean attitudes. These people are contagious and dangerous and must be removed, not to infect others with their infectious heresy. Right? They have to be quarantined outside the camp. From baptism, we are called to a life of sanctification or spiritual quarantine from Satan's evil society. We need to realize the Holy Spirit is living in us, and we must not defile the Spirit of Yahweh with the ways of the world in commercial Babylon. And as the world panics due to their own refusal to repent from going against Yahweh's Torah, we as the people of Yahweh need to embrace the kingdom mindset and the reality of how close Yahweh's kingdom truly is. So wow, like I said, here it is. Just a couple of months ago, I've been sharing with the brethren, you know, to start preparing, to start storing food, getting ready, getting... We've had this mentality now, probably since the last Shemitah, as a group of believers, that we need to be preparing, coming out of the world, getting closer to Yahweh. And now you see it. You see it in the world that's not ready, and the world panics. And like I said, they're not so much panicking about getting sick. They're panicking about not having the world of Babylon any longer, of their world changing from them. But for us, the people of Yahweh, like I said, as Satan's world is disappearing, and every day the kingdom of Yahweh gets one step closer, we should be so happy, we should be so excited, and we should be looking up because our salvation draws near. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.